Good morning and praise God. We thank God today for this another Sunday, this Palm Sunday, as we have it, as we have approached and it has started the week of Passion, the week that leads to the trial, the suffering, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is Palm Sunday, and we welcome you today to share in the glorious wonders of not only God's salvation, but also His grace. In that salvation was such a loving and a caring and a very giving token from our Creator. His grace surpassed all that we could ever ask or request of Him. And I thank God today, and I pray that you do too, for including you. And I want you to be very cognitive of that right now. God has chosen you. You are His chosen. And you need to declare that in your spirit. I am chosen of God. I have become the recipient, the end user of His grace. Hallelujah. And for that, Lord, today I say thank you. God, I thank you today. Hallelujah. 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 Let us pray, and I want you to just kind of embrace yourself as we pray today, and as you've invited us into your home and into your place, your homes, your living rooms. Some are sharing with us at work. And I want you to know today that we are all, regardless of where we are, we have all come into His presence. And I want you to embrace yourself in prayer today. And I want you to just reach, and I want you to touch God in prayer. Oh Lord, as we touch you right now in this prayer, right now I ask that you let every one of my brother's visions and dreams, every one of my sister's visions and dreams, let them come with clarity today. Something supernatural is in the air on this Palm Sunday, and a significant move of your spirit is in the air, because I declare that the things that we have initiated by faith, that they shall come to pass. They will come together. Oh Lord, our God, we need you to get in the spirit of it all. Let us enjoy your spirit. Let us enjoy your presence, because wonderful things happen in your presence. And we claim the victory right now. Every dream of and every vision that we stop working on for reasons we abandon it. Today, oh Lord, we want you to bring us back into that place where we can get it going again. All of the negative energy that stifled our visions and our dreams, they are all made ineffective today by the positive power of your Holy Ghost. And we declare today that unexplained setbacks, the things that have come in our past, that have come today, God, they will be transformed into a future setup. We believe it right now in the mighty and the magnificent name of Jesus. God, put the details together. Let us see it clearly. Put the pieces together. Let us walk in the power of what you have promised us. And we claim it done right now. My brother will prosper. My sister will prosper. Claim it done in Jesus' name. Now use those same hands that you have raised and you have embraced yourself with. Use those same hands right now to give God a praise and say amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Give God praise. Go ahead. Open your mouth right now. Speak it out. God, you're a million times greater. Hallelujah. You're a million times greater than we think. And for that, God, we praise you right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead and speak it out loud. If you see yourself coming up, then stand up. And if you're standing up, raise your hands up. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If anybody asks you who I am, who I am, who I am. If anybody asks you who I am, tell them I'm a child of God. If anybody asks you who I am, who I, hey, who I am. If anybody asks you, you just tell them I'm a child of God. If anybody asks you who I am, come on, church. Hey, hey, who I? If anybody asks you who I, you just tell them I'm a child of God. Listen, Mary had a little baby. He was born in Bethlehem. And every time that baby would cry, she would rock him in a weary land. If anybody asks you who, oh, anybody ask you, you just tell them I'm a child of God. I believe I'll say it again. It's Passion Week. Mary had a little baby. He was born in Bethlehem. And every time that baby would cry, she would rock him in the weary land. If anybody asks you who, come on, church. Oh, if anybody asks you who I, you just tell them I'm a child of God. Stay right there. You just tell them I'm a child. No matter where you go, you just tell them I'm a child. Hey, oh, oh. Tell them I'm a child. Oh. God, our God that is working behind the scenes. To the God, our God, who is working behind the scenes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as he is working behind the scenes, he works in his purpose to position you. He's pulling the strings. Yes, God. It's all a part of what I have labeled eternal progression. Because it is God's desire that his child prospers. He's working behind the scenes. It is his desire that you grow and that you make progress. And he is positioning you. Now, I know you know about being prepared, but not only is there preparation, but there is also positioning. A mother giving birth has to not only be prepared, but she has to be positioned in order for the progression and the process of birth to properly take place. And when God positions us, he is not just positioning us in our physicality, but he is positioning us in our minds. Amen. He's positioning me in my attitude, positioning my appearance and my actions. And you know what? God does not work to meet our expectations. Yeah. But God works to exceed our expectations. Amen. Jesus said to Peter on one occasion, he said to Peter, he says, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing now. But one day, Peter, you will understand it. Now, the older folk said it in this way. They summed it up by saying, you may not understand it now, but we'll understand it better later. May not understand it all now, but tell yourself, self, you'll understand it better later. But God is positioning me. I want to invite you today. I'm going to feel like reading a little bit, because it's imperative that I read in order that we get the context of the text, because I will employ some things subjectively and others I will present objectively to you. In the book of Revelations, chapter 1, and then again in chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from at some length in Revelations chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And then again, as I move forward to Revelations chapter 4, I'm going to only read one verse from there. Again, I bid greetings to all that have joined us today for our live stream. I pray that each week we are a blessing to you. I hope so much so that you are calling up and sharing with somebody. It's not too late. You can call them up now. Always send them to the website, send them to the app. Just tell them to click on live stream. Amen. To our host today, we acknowledge you in our chat experience, keeping people involved. Our hosts are not always remote. Sometimes our hosts are present here in the sanctuary, and sometimes they're remote. But they are an extension of the preacher's hand. Amen. They want to get you involved in the conversation. They want to talk this thing up that's being preached. Amen. So you go ahead and you use those emojis and raise your hand and clap your hands and be responsive in there just like you're in church. Amen. You all made it to the book of Revelations. Very good. I'm going to be reading beginning in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. I was there for the word of God. I was incarcerated for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit while incarcerated on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. I think I'll stop right there. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard. Now I want you to go after the reading and hearing that John just moved into the spirit, and immediately at the move of the spirit, he heard. Chapter 4, he says, after this, I looked, hearing and seeing, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice that I heard first was speaking to me as a trumpet, and it said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Say with me, a place of revelation. A place of revelation. You may be seated in the presence of God. A place of revelation. In the spirit, on the Lord's day, and I heard. Again, in the spirit, and I saw. First I heard, and then I saw. Not by sight. Why? Because I was in the spirit. And my sensual perceptions and perceptors, eyes and ears, nose and touch, are not elements that operate in the spiritual realm. I cannot use my human perceptors to understand those things that are given in the spirit. That is why I walk by faith in the spiritual realm and not by sight, not by my sensual perception. I want to talk to you about a place of revelation. I begin by setting as the premise for this by asking Who doesn't want to be in the right place at the right time? Because certainly it beats being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And in the case of either instance, in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time, life is not decided by chance. Amen. Life is not decided by chance. If I were to walk into a grocery store, and while I'm there, some maniac enters that same grocery store blazing bullets. It can happen. This is not a case of me being in the wrong place at the wrong time, because I'm entitled to go into the grocery store just as anyone else is. And when I entered that grocery store, I'm convinced by my entitlement that nothing is decided by chance. The argument would still be cogent if one were to conclude both I and the gunman were both in the right place at the right time, if the law is nothing happens by chance. The gunman that was doing the shooting, he could have been the one that was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I was the one that was in the right place at the right time. However, we have summed our lives up from its beginning and its ending by associating the God things with what we have declared as being positive and never negative. Because of our being finite, restricted to this human body, we are unable to see sometime that what we have concluded as being negative can in fact be divinely God's opportunity. The Hebrew word is kara. Kara is the Hebrew word. And the word means nothing happens by chance. Kara in the Hebrew is best understood in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse number 11. And you can read it if you'd like. And it is translated as being in the right place at the right time. Kara does not mean chance. In fact, there is no word in the Hebrew anywhere in the Old Testament. I can't declare by it, but my thought would be neither would there be one in the New Testament that could be translated chance. Kara does not mean chance. No Hebrew word does mean chance or coincidence. Kara means God's appointment, which means that it happens at the right place and the right time because it's God's appointment. Am I clear? In other words, being in the right place at the right time is orchestrated by God. And he sets up the parameters for the appointment. In the right place at the right time is for those he loves. And when I think about being in the right place at the right time, kara, meaning God's appointment, it comes down to activity that results in divine positioning. I'm being moved constantly by God, even in my unawares. Like all of life's forces are coming together right here in this place, right now. In the space that you're occupying right now. All of life's forces are directed to that one place to position you. All of life's forces. The air that you breathe. The light that you behold. The sounds that you hear, all of life's forces are coming together in that one concentrated place that you're occupying right now, focused on you to prosper you to prevail. It's like a spiritual cocoon that encompasses you. And collectively, we are under the umbrella of God's care. But individually, God moves in. He zooms in on you, bringing everything together for the purpose of you prospering and posturing you to prevail. That's powerful. It is significant for us to have this kind of perception of God. Because while we think that God is so spacious and wide and large, we have to remember also that he can be so detailed, so articulate, so personable. You have to know how God operates and how he can utilize just one designated place to perform a specific task at a designated time. Can you say amen? I know that you've heard mentioned in the Bible before references about, quote, a certain woman, unquote. A certain woman who had an encounter with Jesus. Consider the word certain. No first name, no last name, just certain. Woman is not a part of the address because it designates her gender. But she was not just any female, she was a certain female. A person who has been declared to be certain, to me, is a person who is convinced. A certain woman to me details her confidence. If she's a certain woman, then, and she's been declared this by God, then she has to be a positive woman. Definite, firm, assured, and most of all, she has to be a faithful woman.
All right.
Because being called a certain woman designates her from all other women. A certain woman with an issue of blood that was spoken about will never be confused with any other woman in the Bible. It wasn't Mary. It wasn't Rahab. No, it wasn't Zipporah. It wasn't Jochebed. It wasn't Martha. It wasn't. It was a certain woman, even though she's never called by a proper name. When a preacher has nothing else to preach, he can preach about a certain woman. Mm-hmm. With her, he can talk about her confidence. He can talk about her faithfulness. He can talk about her outlook on life. Because a certain woman at some specific place at a specific time had an encounter with God. God. What she does is by her faith, her outlook and her confidence, her assuredness, she activates God's timing. She activates God's purpose concerning everyone else that was around him, because he said, somebody touched me. Let me show you the power of being certain, a certain person. The disciples said, Lord, what do you mean somebody touched you? We're touching you. And everybody else around us that is coming close enough to you is touching you. What do you mean somebody touched me? So what the writer could do only given this situation, since he did not have her name, Jesus never called her by her name, all he could do when writing about her is say, a certain woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she activated God's timing. She activated God's purpose. And she activated God's will over her life. What had been going on for the last 12 years is about to stop. What has relinquished all of her finances, absorbed everything that she had made, was about to come to an end. Because she was a specific woman at a specific place, at a specific time. The person, the place, and the time of any given event is governed by God's power to perform. You don't have to move to another state. You don't have to relocate. You don't have to bump in and out of relationships. You don't have to downsize in your circle. What you have to do is be cognizant of God's power to perform. Can I preach this? It is important that we ask God then, right now, to order our steps. Based on what we have heard, this would be a good time, like no other time, to say, Lord, order my steps. Not like just a cliche, but I mean, God, really, order my steps. Move my feet. Guide my hands. Mm-hmm. Order my steps so that I can be certain of the things that I'm doing. So that I can know that I am and have available to me a God appointment. You have to ask him to direct your path so that you can know that your direction is under his control. Mm-hmm. And you can't just say it. I've got to dig in right here. Your motivation, your enthusiasm, even your impulses. I'm talking. Let me get detailed. I got to get more detailed than I may have desired to get. Usually when we think of impulse, it's just that thing that we do in the moment. Like shopping. Do you know that every pair of shoes in your closet was not determined by nothing much more than just an impulse? You have shoes that you have purchased that you have not worn. But when you purchased them, you knew just the right outfit. The reason I had to go there is because I want you to ask yourself, the next time you see that pair of shoes sitting over there that's never been worn, that at the moment they were the perfect pair, I want you to ask yourself, what moved me to buy those shoes? So I point out here that what you do cannot be predicated in the results of what you think. Amen. But rather, you need a faith that connects you with God's power to direct you to a place of blessing. Maybe those shoes that you have can fulfill a purpose if you go back with the right mind. Consider what you've done, and you may conclude that, oh, I bought those shoes so that I could give them. Mm-hmm. If I keep digging in right there, I'm going to get so far off track that I'm not going to be able to make it back, so I'm going to stop there. You remember the rich young ruler? Yeah, just, I hope you do. He came into the presence of Jesus. Now, the physicality of his encounter, I have to commend him for that, because he approached the right man. He came to Jesus. I give him his props for the proper salutation. He says, Rabbi, which is to say, teacher. He called him good master, which is to acknowledge his superiority to him, thinking that he was already superior. But even in his inquisition, and how he engages Jesus in conversation, I still applaud him. It's commendable because this young man actually asked Jesus, what must I do that I have eternal life? He's in a place, he's at a time, and he's open and engaged Jesus in conversation. But if you look at it, the outcome of being in that place, talking to Jesus and acknowledging him, the outcome of this encounter with Jesus supports the idea that nothing happens by chance. I'll tell you how so. Because even though he approached him with his confidence, he approached him with his enthusiasm. He sought to receive that which only God could give. He still left with his head hung down, sorrowful and pitiful. Why? Because he came based on what he thought and the way that he felt that things should go. Mm-hmm. If this had been the appointed time, if he was responding to an appointment, then you know what he would have done? He would have sold everything that he had, because that's what Jesus asked him to do. If he had have had a God appointment, then he would have divided everything that he made from the goods that he sold that were once his. He would have divided them among the poor, just like Jesus told him to do. If he had a God appointment, then he would have followed after Jesus and became one of his disciples. But that's not how the story goes. He showed up, but obviously it was not a God appointment, because he walked away with his head hung down, sadly. But still he had everything that he possessed when he arrived, but he didn't have eternal life. Mm-hmm. You see, we ask God to come into our presence, but I want you to reconsider, God has to summons us to come into his presence. Because after all, you have not chosen him, but he has chosen you. I hear people of God all the time, God, why do I keep picking the wrong person? Why do I keep ending up on the wrong job? Why am I forever selecting the wrong car? Truthfully speaking, there may be nothing wrong with the person. There may be nothing wrong with the job or the car. The problem is you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have not positioned yourself with God. And as a result, everything that you touch is essentially going out of whack. Sometimes we think it's what others are doing to us, when real talk, it's what we are doing to them. Ask those that were on board with Jonah. In Jonah's case, the only person out of place was Jonah. Jonah went ahead and admitted, this is not going awry because of you. The ship is not tossing and turning because of you. I'm the one that's in the wrong position. I'm the only one that is on this boat that does not have a God appointment. I'm going to preach this now. I've made him around now. You see, Jonah, and even though sometimes you look as though those sailors on that ship were just pirates doing bad things, they were where they were based on an appointed time. But Jonah was not supposed to be on a ship going to Tarshish. He was the only one that was supposed to be going in the other direction, on a vessel that was headed to Nineveh. You ought to ask yourself, in whatever is all jacked up, messed up right now, Lord, am I in the right place? While you looking at him, he may be looking back at you. While you saying you can do bad all by yourself, he may be very well saying that I can do better while you doing bad all by yourself. Yes, you see, it is never the place that you set to go that is called the place of revelation. You hear me? Just because you set out to do it doesn't mean that God is going to reveal. Just because You have the enthusiasm does not mean that God is going to reveal. But it is a place that you come to discover that it is the hand of God that is moving you, that becomes the place of revelation. He moving you, directing you to a place that he's calling you to. In the case of Joseph, you remember him? Joseph was hated by his brothers. But isn't it amazing how God used their hatred? Isn't it amazing how God used Joseph's brothers' intimidation? Isn't it amazing how God used the envy that they had for Joseph to conclude that what others can mean for bad can work out for your good if you have a God appointment? It was their envy, their jealousy, that became the substratum of Joseph being brought out of the pit. Y'all not hearing me. Where he was left for dead. Imagine yourself being left there, high and dry. And you think, how did I get myself here? Could it be that God used the list of circumstances to get you right in the pit that he wanted you to be in? Because it's that ditch that you're in that he's about to pull you up out of and move you to the palace. Are y'all hearing me? The same Joseph that was tossed as a result of envy and hatred into the pit. Ultimately, he became the young prince in the palace in Egypt. Am I right? Joseph had to have had an appointment. I tell you why. Because Joseph unknowingly, I don't know whether he knew or not, I don't know what his attitude were in the pit, but he had to have had a God appointment. Because step by step, you can notice that no matter how difficult the trouble, God brought him through it. Everything he went through, he smelled like smoke. There's some folk in here today, you don't look like what you've come through. You don't smell like what you've been through. But I got some folk that could stand up right now and say, I've been down through there. And there are some things that I went through in my life. Some hit harder than others. But when I look back over where the Lord has brought me from, I can see now that some of the stuff that I thought was the wrong place at the wrong time was simply God setting me up, oh God, for something that he was divinely getting me ready for. You hear it in my voice. There are times when the pit is the right place to be. Maybe that aggravating relationship you're in, can I suggest maybe that's the right place for you to be? That job that's being so hard on you, can I suggest, submit to you for your urgent consideration because of God's ability to set a divine appointment? Can I suggest to you, plead with you, that maybe it ain't so bad after all? Why? Because there's a time when you're sitting at Potiphar's house and everybody pointing the finger at you. You're in the right place at the right time. They're looking at you like, if you hadn't have ever showed up, I wouldn't be talking about you like I am. But you had the nerve and the audacity to come up in here knowing that you don't deserve to be here. So I'm going to deal with you, and all you can do is just sit at them and let them point their fingers. Because in the mind of your spirit, you know that your steps are
being ordered by the Lord. I need you to get an attitude of knowing that while people are digging ditches, don't tell them to dig two, because one ditch will do. Because the ditch that you're digging is not in fact for me. But the ditch that you're digging prophetically, it is for you. Maybe you need to tweet that now. One ditch will do. You don't need to. Joseph may not have known it. And there are times when the pit is the right place. So I don't want you to be so quick after today. I got 10 minutes now. To disapprove of negative forces. Unsettling and uncomfortable situations. Did you know that your being uncomfortable can lead to a great revelation? Did you know that your unsettling situation can lead to a greater revelation? What you were has a lot to do with where God is taking you to. What you did not have has a lot to do with what God is about to give you now. Where you live then is directly connected to where God is taking you to next. Who your mother and your father was, no matter how you despise them, they are all a part of the equation. Somebody say amen. Why? Because God has an appointed time for everything that he has ordained. While I'm here, I want you to catch this. Look up at me for a minute. Now, while I tell you that you may be in the right place, in that uncomfortable position, I told you may be in the right place while you're in that unsettling situation. I don't want you to turn the right place into an extended stay. Preach, Don. You see, you gotta move at God's command. Am I right about it? That is why having a relationship with God has to dictate not only where you are, but also who you're with. Some places that reveal to us, they're not for us to make it a permanent destination. It's just a stop on the way. Say that with me. I didn't come to stay. Because this is just a stop on the way. Let me preach right here for a minute. I know you had some hard times, but you don't have to declare over your life it's going to be like this always. Because this is just a stop on the way. Come on, somebody. Is it possible that you were on your way to a place of blessing, but you reached one place in your life? And you stop communing with God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying now. And now here you are stuck in what is called a place on the way. And if you're somewhere and you know that you don't see God in it, you need to say, Lord, order my steps. Are y'all hearing me? There has to be a constant listening and staying in fellowship with God. Because every step is contingent upon you hearing from God. You see, you can't take a step and then ignore God. But you've got to take a step and then you've got to incline your ear to hear God. Let me tell you something that religion will do for you. You think that just because you got up out of your bed, and then you came out to the place of worship, turned on your device, radio, computer, iPhone, Android, and got a word from God, that's all that's required of you today. It's going to take a little more than getting a sermon from Don. It's going to take a little more than you coming out to the place of worship. But somebody knows today that when you walk out of this door and when you leave this place, tell your neighbor you're going to need the Lord not part of the way, but come on, somebody, all the way. I don't want you to end up like the Israelites in Deuteronomy 1 and 6, where God told the Israelites, you've been in this mountain too long. And you've turned an overnight stay, Lord, into an eternal destination. Do y'all hear what I'm saying today? And it's up to you, wherever you are, to go ahead and determine, Lord, is it time for me to move? Or do I just hold my peace? Lord, do I stay right here? Oh God, is it time for me to move out of here? Somebody say divine appointment. But God wants you to know today that wherever you are, if you don't see milk flowing and you don't see honey, then you have not made it to the promised land. If all you have is honey, God wants you to have milk. And if all you have is milk, he wants you to have honey. Because he said, I'm taking you to a place where there is milk and honey. So if you've got a companion, but you still don't have a peace of mind, oh God, you stop at a place on the way. Because he told you that not only will I give you somebody, but I give you peace in your mind.